From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Audie Cornish, in for Farai Chidea. What would you do if you had full-blown AIDS and your life depended on a drug that had been yanked from the market? That's what happened to patients using a drug called Vericept. If you lived in Europe, where Vericept is just one of many AIDS treatments available, you'd just switch to something else. But in the developing world, thousands of AIDS patients use Vericept because it's one of the few drugs they can afford. And unfortunately, that hypothetical recall, well, it's real. For more, I spoke with Elizabeth Rosenthal, who's been covering the story for the International Herald Tribune.
Vericept is a protease inhibitor. It used to be widely used maybe 5 years ago throughout the developed world, in Europe and in the U.S., but it's been supplanted in Europe and the U.S. mostly, as well as places like Canada, Japan, Australia, by newer drugs that are better, easier to take, fewer side effects. So at this point, the largest portion of its use is in the developing world.
Now, the news of the recall of Vericept has trickled out over the last few months almost. Can you talk about what finally triggered a recall and what Roche Pharmaceuticals, the company that makes it, has said about it?
Well, the company announced a recall, which was highly unusual because it was a global recall in that they took back the medicine from everywhere they sold it in early June. It had been precipitated, they say, because some patients who were on Vericept noticed when they opened the bottle that it had a funny smell, and a few of them said that they were feeling nauseated, I believe, as well. And so it prompted the company to look into whether the medicine had been contaminated, which actually, they don't like that word. They say whether the medicine contained an impurity, which they found it did, and that precipitated a recall on June 6th. It still remains to be seen, you know, what kind of damage does this ethyl mesylate do? Since it's a mutagen, meaning it does genetic damage, it's particularly dangerous for kids and pregnant women.
And so, ostensibly, this is a drug that's available in these parts of the world that's more affordable than a lot of the drugs that are available in wealthier nations like the U.S. Can you talk about what the alternatives are then if you live in one of these countries where you've suddenly been told you're out of treatment, this treatment is contaminated in some way?
Vericept, it should be said, is not a first-line drug anywhere. It's a second-line drug, meaning it is given to patients who can't tolerate the first-line drugs or who have HIV virus that's resistant to those drugs. So it isn't first-line, but it is extremely widely used in the developing world still.
And so what is the global health community doing to try and get more information from Roche about what's going on?
Well, Roche has had numerous meetings in some of the countries that have been affected. But I think the problem is that Roche doesn't have a representative in every nation. And in a number of poorer nations, there's been questions about, was there a suitable drug to replace Vericept? And also, who's going to pay for the cost of this massive recall? Who's going to pay to notify patients in distant corners of poorer countries? Who's going to pay to get a replacement drug, sometimes in countries where there's nothing licensed or affordable that can replace Vericept?
How can this situation, or how could this situation, jeopardize the trust that patients and doctors have between each other, especially in these areas of the world where it can be difficult convincing local populations to even get tested for HIV/AIDS?
Well, I think trust has been the issue has been different in every country. In some countries, there was very little impact because they weren't using Vericept anymore. In other countries, even where they didn't use Vericept enough, very much anymore, there was a breakdown of trust because they said, look, all of a sudden we're told that this HIV protease inhibitor is toxic or potentially toxic, and we don't feel like we're getting very much information. In other countries, there were much harder treatment issues where the advice was, you better stop this medicine, and then the question was, okay, So what do we replace it with? And often there wasn't a very good answer, and that's a real problem for a person with HIV.
So moving forward, what's being done for these patients?
Well, at the moment, the international health community, activists, World Health Organization, and the European Medicines Agency are still trying to define exactly where this medicine went, how many people took it, how many people took doses that were highly contaminated, because they know that some of the batches had quite high levels of this impurity and others had much lower levels, and trying to define what the long-term, short-term or long-term effects of exposure are. The European Medicines Agency, in agreement with Roche, suspended the marketing license for Viracep and also signed an agreement with the company stipulating that the company had to do more studies to better define how this impurity affected animals and by extrapolation humans, and also required it to set up a registry of patients who had been taking the drug. That agreement is with the European Medicines Agency, so it's been much less clear how that would affect patients in places like South America and in Africa who were taking the drug and need to be followed as well. It's not clear who will pay the costs of that, how long they'll be followed for, and what kind of help they'll get if it turns out that there is some kind of health problem caused by this impurity.
Well, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us. We'll be continuing to watch this issue.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Rosenthal covers health, science, and environmental issues for the International Herald Tribune. She also has an MD from Harvard Medical School.